I offer my respectful obeisances unto the six Goswamis, namely Sri Sanatan Goswami, Sri Rupa Goswami, Sri Raghunath Bhatta Goswami, Sri Raghunath Das Goswami, Sri Jiva Goswami, and Sri Gopal Bhatta Goswami, who are very expert in scrutinizingly studying all the revealed scriptures with the aim of establishing eternal religious principles for the benefit of all human beings. Thus they're honored all over the three worlds, and they're worth taking shelter of, because they're absorbed in the mood of the gopis and are engaged in the transcendental loving service of Radha and Krishna. Sri Shad Goswami Prabhu Ki. The last 2 days, basically, we were discussing the qualities of Lord Krishna. Lord Krishna as a Vibhava. Vibhava being the first of the five bhavas discussed in this southern side of the ocean of nectar of devotion. And Vibhava meaning specifically things which cause ecstasy, things which stimulate a devotee to become blissful and to become ecstatic. So we discussed the first 25 of the 64 qualities of Krishna. They were there in the 21st chapter. Now, of course, we could always go through all 64, but we might possibly not have sufficient time for that. So what I'm going to do now is just skip on just a little bit into the 22nd chapter and briefly discuss those four special qualities which only Krishna has. Just very briefly, I think generally we're all fairly familiar with these four. In Nectar of Devotion, they begin on page 191. In your overview book, they're on page 21. So first is Leela Madhurya. Leela Madhurya means performer of wonderful pastimes, wonderful activities. So here in Nectar of Devotion, just a very brief little description how Krishna's pastimes are the most wonderful activities that anyone performs, and particularly the rasa dance. The rasa dance is exceptional. Even amongst Krishna's pastimes, it is the most wonderful. So that is what is discussed here in Nectar of Devotion. Let's see. There are many wonderful pastimes. We could perhaps mention a couple. This rasa dance is so extraordinary. And Krishna in the rasa dance is so extraordinary. I think you would know the story of Krishna as Madan Mohan. That pastime took place just nearby, just down near the Kaliagat area, basically. Krishna was dancing with the gopis in the rasa dance, and Cupid, he had heard that there is this young man, Krishna. He's dancing with so many young girls. And Cupid thought, ideal situation for me. Let me go and agitate this Krishna. Let me go and cause some trouble by firing my arrows. So Cupid went and he was trying to aim at Krishna. Krishna was dancing around very creatively and very artistically and very actively, and Cupid was trying to aim his arrows, but Krishna was moving too fast. So he was trying to aim, but he just couldn't. So he was focusing more and more, trying to get a good aim. But Krishna was moving and moving, so Cupid was focusing more and more even. And as he was focusing more and more, then he saw that, oh, this pastime is really beautiful. And Krishna, he's really beautiful. Amazing. So then he tried to aim more. And as he was trying to focus and aim more, he realized, wow, Krishna is really beautiful. And this pastime is really amazing. Until Cupid fainted. So he was defeated by Madan Mohan. Madan is Cupid and Mohan means the attractor. So the pastime is very beautiful. And of course, one of the special qualities here is the beauty of Krishna. He's so beautiful. So he defeated Cupid. Cupid collapsed and gave up. So one idea at least is that if we keep Krishna, Madan Mohan, within our minds, within our hearts, then even though Cupid may try to aim his arrows at us, but if Cupid is there, if Madan Mohan is there with us, then even though Cupid may be trying to aim his arrows, but as he aims, if Krishna is with us, he'll see Krishna and he'll faint. And then he won't be able to disturb us. So this is one of the secrets of Krishna consciousness. How to defeat Cupid. So this pastime, this rasa dance pastime, is so special. It's so unique. It is the highest of all the pastimes, actually. And it's so unique, you need really special qualifications to enter. Not everybody, and not, what to speak of not everybody, but not even many people who are great, great pure devotees can enter. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, there is the story that Lakshmi Devi wanted to enter. She heard about the rasa dance and became fascinated by the rasa dance. And she wanted to enter, but she couldn't enter, even though she tried. And actually, I don't know if you're aware, but she's still trying. She is just across the river here at Bailvan. Someday, if you want, you can go and visit her and see how she's doing. She's still trying to enter the rasa dance, actually. It's a fact. But she's still not able, because she has not really grasped the idea. She wants to enter the rasa dance, but remain big, important goddess of fortune, very opulent and powerful and so on. She doesn't want to actually acquire the real qualifications which are necessary for the rasa dance. So this rasa dance is very special. It is truly the unique pastime. Or a little later on, in just one of the later chapters that we'll be reading through, Prabhupada notes a statement by Bilvamangal Thakur about the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna, that sometimes Radharani is so ecstatic, she sees Krishna, she becomes so overwhelmed that she, the ladies, they often churn yogurt into butter. So she also, Radharani, it is one of her regular duties to churn the yogurt and make butter. So sometimes Radharani sees Krishna and he's such a powerful vibhava. He stimulates her. He excites her so much that she just doesn't know what she's doing with her yogurt churning rod. And Bilva Mangal Thakur says, she puts the rod into an empty pot, it's got nothing in it, and just starts churning the empty pot. Yes. And there, Bilva Mangal Thakur mentions, if you were with us on Saturday, we mentioned how Krishna, sometimes he gets bewildered because the devotees are vibhavas for Krishna. They excite Krishna and stimulate Krishna. So we mentioned how Krishna, he feels embarrassed because the cowherd boys, those who don't really, they're not tuned into the conjugal side of things. They're just tough cowherd boys, rough and tough, just rolling and playing and wrestling, and this is the way, this is the life for a cowherd boy, no messing around. And when Krishna goes off to join the girls, then the cowherd boys, they're just young boys, and you probably know what it's like for young boys that age. They think, what? What's he going to play with these girls for? What a waste of time. So Krishna becomes embarrassed because sometimes he's with the cowherd boys and he sees Radharani and she stimulates him so strongly he becomes a little dizzy. So there, Bilva Mangal Thakur, I think it's in the 29th chapter, which we'll be reading in a few days. So he notes that whereas Radharani, when she's stimulated by Krishna, she may churn an empty yogurt pot. So Krishna, he doesn't want to be embarrassed in front of the boys. So he tries to play it cool when Radharani's around. So one day he was milking a cow and Radharani came and Krishna thought, no problem. Some cowherd boys were there. I will just keep my head here. I will not become bewildered. I will just keep milking the cow. No problem. And as Radharani walked by, there was Krishna just nonchalantly milking the cow. But Radharani noticed, oh, he's milking a bull. So, yes, these things are going on. Krishna became so enchanted by Radharani that he began to milk a bull instead of a cow. So these are some, just a couple of little points about these pastimes. All of the forms of the Lord, they all have pastimes. And they're all wonderful. But Krishna's pastimes are the most wonderful. There's no comparison. They are truly unique. Then, number 62 is, Krishna is surrounded by loving devotees. Well, it's not just a matter of being surrounded by loving devotees, because all the forms of the Lord, expansions and so on, they're all surrounded by loving devotees. But Krishna is surrounded by loving devotees who have a higher level of love of God than the associates of any other form of the Lord. So, in Nectar of Devotion, some mention is made there. There's one very nice example given. It's really a very beautiful example. It's in the last paragraph on page 191 that the gopis, is actually from the Bhagavatam. They lament. They lament that we don't see you all day, and then you come back in the evening and we see you, but then when we see you, we blink, and we can't see you all the time. And this is very bad. So we are sitting here blinking. You're all sitting there looking at me and blinking, and you don't feel so bad. It's not so bad, really. We just don't, it's just automatic. We don't notice at all. But with Krishna, just that split second of blinking, and the gopis, they notice it. As Lord Chaitanya said, yugaitam nimeshena, one nimesh, one split second. It can be like a yuga. Long, long time. So they feel like that. That why should we blink? So then they accuse Lord Brahma. You think you're a big creator. Well, as far as we're concerned, you're not. You don't even know how to create. You're a useless creator. You are a dunce. Do you know what I mean? Dunce. It's like the local idiot. You are just mega stupid. And you should just, you know, you're just a laughingstock, basically. Because you made these eyes which blink. And I don't think it's mentioned here, but elsewhere it is mentioned that Radharani then prayed that in my next life, I want to be a fish in the Yamuna, because fish never blink. And then when Krishna comes, I'll just look at him uninterrupted. That'll be very nice. So, Radharani was thinking that very seriously. So, loving devotees, they love Krishna so much. They danced in the rasa dance with Krishna. The whole night, several hours, it seemed like a couple of minutes or less. They began and then suddenly the sun was rising, it was all over. Just after a minute or some seconds even. So they are thinking, this is very bad. Time just flew. But actually the understanding is that night was extended to the length of a night of Brahma. 4,320,000,000 years. But still it seemed like that. Just like a brief moment. They just started and suddenly they turned around and they had to finish. They hadn't even got warmed up. So they thought. But actually they'd been dancing for 4,320,000,000 years. So, this is because they love Krishna so much. I mean, you could also interpret it that the pastime is so wonderful. That's also there. But particularly the focal point here is that Krishna, the devotees love Krishna so much that even if they had eternity to associate with him, it wouldn't be enough. It wouldn't be enough. They love him so much. They love to be in his association so much. They cannot get enough. There are other examples, like Mataji mentioned the other day. She was quite right. In fact, it's mentioned, I think it's here in Nectar of Devotion somewhere, from Lalita Madhava. When Krishna disappeared during the rasa dance, then he was actually watching from behind some bushes nearby, but he didn't want to reveal himself yet. But he could see the gopis were becoming so transcendentally distraught, he thought he would do something to help them. He thought he would appear as Lord Narayan. Because Lord Narayan, Krishna, you know, very similar, sort of the same. Achintya Bhed, Abhed, Tattva, you know, it's kind of the same. So it's okay. So he appeared as Lord Narayan, somehow. But the gopis, they were not fooled. They immediately understood who this was. There's another story, which is around the other way, that Lord Narayan actually appeared himself thinking that me and Krishna, what's the difference? These poor girls, they're so distressed. I'll be kind to them and appear. So he put two of his arms behind his back, took hold of a flute, because he's a bit of a flute player himself, and appeared in front of them. And the gopis were momentarily startled. But then they realized, no, no, this is not Krishna. This is Narayan. So they just ran up to him and offered their obeisances and surrounded him and said, "Dear Lord Narayan, do you know where Krishna is?" With so much emotional impact that Lord Narayan just became overwhelmed. He dropped the flute. His other two arms popped out and he just started pointing everywhere with his four arms. I think he went that way. And so he'd never experienced anything like that. There's the story of Krishna getting a headache. I think you should know that story. Shows how his devotees are on a superior level. Just ready to do anything, even go to hell for Krishna. Then Krishna, Mother Yashoda has so much love for Krishna that she was able to tie him up. He was running in fear from her. He is the same God who the materialists are praying to. Please, please, give us something. Give us some money. Give me a house and a car and a color TV. Om Jai Jagadisha Hare. Something like this. Materialistic people are praying and praying and begging. But that same God was running in fear of Mother Yashoda and she tied him up. And then the impersonalists, they're trying for many lifetimes just to get a glimpse of the effulgence coming from one of his toenails. Still they may not do it. They may not achieve that after many lifetimes. But that same absolute truth was running from Mother Yashoda, and she tied him up. And the yogis trying to realize super soul. Also, it takes a long time. If you know the story of Vishvamitra, he was engaged in that sort of process, Ashtanga Yoga. 60,000 years. Then he fell down. Then he got himself together after a while. Then another 40,000 years. Then he fell down again. But that same super soul who Vishvamitra was struggling, painstakingly struggling to realize, with such extreme difficulty for such a long time, he was running in fear of Mother Yashoda. So, who is Mother Yashoda? What is her level? Oh, that is something unimaginable, really. So Krishna is very special because he's surrounded by devotees like these. Then Krishna plays the flute. Of course, many people play the flute. We just mentioned Lord Narayan. He sometimes plays the flute, but not like Krishna. He really plays the flute. It's amazing. It's mentioned here in Nectar of Devotion how the demigods became stunned. Shiva stopped his drumming. The Kumars stopped meditating. Brahma stopped creating Ananta, who has all the universes on his heads, started moving around rhythmically like he was dancing. So he really, his flute playing is amazing. Lord Brahma heard his flute playing, and then the same sound came out as Karma Gayatri. And I imagine some of you are second initiated, so you chant Karma Gayatri. It's the last of the Gayatri mantras that we chant. So when you come to be able to chant that mantra perfectly or properly, then you won't just hear the syllables, but you will hear the sound of Krishna's flute. Krishna's flute is very amazing. It makes inanimate things like rocks and rivers animate. It makes animate things like cows inanimate, like pictures. And it makes rock melt. Sometimes Krishna plays his flute and part of a hill melts so that the cows can drink something. Sometimes he makes his flute into a boat and ferries the cows and cowherd boys across the Yamuna on his flute. How's that? So that's quite a flute he's got. Then there is the exquisite beauty of Krishna. That's number 64. And it explains how his beauty enhanced his ornaments. There was no need for him to wear ornaments or makeup. We all know the game. Some ordinary looking person paints up their face, puts a few ornaments on, and then supposedly they look nice. Actually, they're the same old sort of rather foolish person, but now they're made up artificially. And their appearance is improved by these artificial things. But Krishna, he beautified his ornaments. Even when men saw him, sometimes big kshatriyas would faint and fall off their elephants and horses. Prabhupada explains that sometimes in the middle of a battle, some soldiers would see Krishna and just become overwhelmed with conjugal attraction, even though they're in male bodies. So, this beauty of Krishna is something really remarkable. Anyone got any particular examples they'd like to bring to our attention in regards to any of these four special qualities of Krishna? Are we in a quiet mood today? No suggestions. All right. Well, we got to move on a bit, actually. So let's go on to chapter 23. This is interesting. It's continuing the discussion about Krishna as Vibhava Vishaya, the object of loving stimulation. Now, this is about Krishna's personality. Krishna, he has different moods, like we also. We may have different distinct moods, which may from time to time come upon us, mood swings and all that sort of thing. So Krishna has four particular types of moods. Now, you might wonder, see, this is now separate from the 64 qualities. So you might think, well, you know, why isn't it included within it? But the thing is, for example, if you look at Dhiradatta on page 23 in your overview books or in Nectar of Devotion, page 195, then Dhiradatta is described, the basic characteristic is noble. But in detail, Prabhupada says, Dhiradatta is a person who's naturally very grave, gentle, forgiving, merciful, determined, humble, highly qualified, chivalrous, and physically attractive. Now, what do we notice about those qualities that make up the Dhiradatta personality type? Those particular qualities, what do we notice about them? Yeah. These, at least these ones, are all amongst the 64. So in other words, these personality types, they are composites. They are the combined forms of a certain number of the particular qualities. So they sort of become like super qualities, you could say. Like very broad qualities consisting of a combination of the other more individual sort of detailed qualities. And as such, they have their own nature. You can't just say that, oh, here is Krishna being grave. That's number 26. So here's Krishna being grave when Krishna is being Dhiradatta. You'll see that gravity is there, but it's not just gravity by any means, because gentleness will also be there. That's number 34. Being forgiving will be there. That's number 25. Being merciful will be there. That's number 32. Compassionate. Being determined is number 18. Being humble is 36. Shy. Highly qualified is number 16. Expert. Chivalrous is, oh, I didn't note the number, but it's heroic. It's also there somewhere. And physically attractive could be number 1, it could be number 64. Number 1 was that Krishna has very beautiful parts of his body. And number 64 we just talked about is that Krishna in an overall sense is very beautiful. But when you put these all together and they're manifest together sort of as one unit, then that is called Dhiradatta. Krishna being Dhiradatta, which in a nutshell you could say is being very noble. A real gentleman. So Krishna is like that sometimes. And an example is given. Page 195 over to 196. Lord Indra is glorifying how Krishna conducted himself during the Govardhan Leela and after the Govardhan Leela. He was really Dhiradatta towards Indra. In general, and particularly towards Indra. He was very grave. Indra was trying to glorify the Lord and sort of stimulate the Lord and maybe get a smile out of the Lord, something like that. But he couldn't get a smile out of Krishna. Krishna was very grave. But Krishna forgave him very mercifully, very compassionately. And so on and so forth, like this. So Lord Indra glorifies Krishna like that. Now, give us another example. Go on. Scratch your heads a little. Agitate your minds a little bit. Just think of Krishna and his pastimes and what he does, and even maybe Lord Chaitanya, why not? Can you think of some pastime where this Dhiradatta character was there? Yes, that's a very good one. Dhiradatta, very grave, very merciful, and very humble, very gentlemanly. Okay, that's one I thought of also. Yeah. When Lord Brahma, Krishna had been eating lunch, and he still had, you know what he still had? Not laddu, yogurt and fruit in his left hand, not his right hand, his left hand. And then at the end of this whole pastime, Lord Brahma came crying and just a very emotional state. And Krishna was totally Dhiradatta. I mean, it's possibly Dhira Prashanta also. We haven't gone on to that yet. But, you know, we could say, looks like Dhiradatta, because he was merciful also and forgiving. Lord Brahma after the Brahma Vimohana Leela. Anyone think of another example? Yes? That's a good example. That's true. Yes. That is mentioned in the Bhagavatam, actually, that he was very grave and very, you know, serious about it. When Krishna received the message from Rukmini to marry, she wanted to marry him. Okay. Actually, there are many examples. There are many examples. One that I thought of was Lord Chaitanya, when Vallabha Bhatta would come to him and try, you know, to make some point and get recognized as a scholar. But Lord Chaitanya just stayed cool. And particularly, Vallabha Bhatta came and said, you know, I've written my commentary on the Bhagavatam. It's better than Sridhar Swami's. Sridhar Swami's, I forget the exact criticism, but there's some criticism he made. Lord Chaitanya was unmoved, externally at least. He just turned to him and said, anyone who criticizes the Swami is a prostitute. And the devotees looked at him, and they could see Lord Chaitanya was so grave. They just didn't want to say anything. They just sat there. And Vallabha Bhatta sort of shrank to about that size. Or they say, the Chaitanya Charitamrita says, he looked like an ugly gray duck in a group of beautiful white swans. Okay, so that's Dhiradatta. Dhira Lalita, this is Krishna having fun. Dhira Lalita. Now, this may not be so easily tied into the 64 qualities, but I'm sure it's there if we really think about it. He's naturally very funny, always in full youthfulness, expert in joking and free from all anxieties. And he's generally very domesticated and very submissive to his lover. Well, there are other descriptions also, and in fact the example which is given is that sometimes Dhira Lalita, because Lalita means playful, sometimes he is not submissive to his lover. He's quite the opposite, actually. He just plays around with her. So the example given is a real classic that one of the wives of the Brahmins was explaining to her friends that once Radharani was taking rest and then Krishna came and started describing in, you know, sort of like, if you know what I mean, bawdy language. Something like that, if you know what I mean. Yeah, sort of licentious language about the conjugal pastimes they'd had the night before. So then Radharani became embarrassed. And she hung her head and closed her eyes. But Krishna is such a dear Lalita, so playful and so free from anxiety. He just jumped in and made some decorations on her breasts as she was sitting right there in front of everyone. That's really dear Lalita. Youthful, joking, just in a most extraordinary way. So, one thing I came across, Prabhupada says, it's in Chaitanya Charitamrita, that this feature is not seen in any other form of the Lord. You do get Dhira Dutta. Lord Ramachandra is sometimes Dhira Dutta. There are examples that can be given of Lord Ramachandra and other forms of the Lord being Dhira Dutta. Very noble and grave and kind and gentlemanly and so on. But this Dhira Lalita you only get with Krishna. Can any of you think of any other pastime in which Krishna is Dhira Lalita? Sorry? Rukmini. Yes, that I suppose is Dhira Lalita. Yeah? That's true, yes, that's true. Right, like Dan, well, yeah, the disguise pastimes, and Dan Gutti, of course, charging the gopis tax, and if they don't pay, oh, gives them such a hard time. There are many pastimes, there are many, many, like these disguising pastimes and his pranks. Oh, what about a classic? Real classic. When the gopis came out to the rasa dance, then Krishna just turned around and said, "Oh, what are you doing here? You shouldn't be here. You must go home. Just go home. Go on." So, of course, he wanted them to be there. He called them to come. Then as soon as he saw them in this very kind of smart aleck way, he tells them, "Come on, you got to go home. Be good girls." Right, that's a very good one. When he stole their garments, that was a real dear Lalita. One devotee prays that as Krishna stole the garments of the gopis, despite how they felt about it, I hope he'll steal my heart, despite my material desires. I hope he'll just steal my heart. Someone else had their hand up? Oh, okay. Yes, Krishna and Madhu Mangal. They're often very funny. Let's go on to Dhira Prashanta. This has some sort of resemblance to Dhira Dutta, but it's not the same. The main characteristic is peacefulness, being very considerate. I mean, there are similarities. So, a person who's very peaceful, forbearing, considerate, and obliging is Dhira Prashanta. The example which is given is Krishna with the Pandavas. They were such great devotees. He was so obliging, so considerate. He was willing to do anything. So he was so forbearing. He'd do anything for them. Very peacefully, without any sort of fanfare or anything. He was their charioteer, their advisor, their friend, their messenger, sometimes their bodyguard. And sometimes Maharaj Yudhisthira is accepted as Dhira Prashanta. Now, can any of you think of any other pastime where Krishna exhibits Dhira Prashanta? That's a good one. That's a very good one, actually. That's a very good one. Ramachandra Puri, I don't know if you're all familiar with him. He was a real critical, nasty, envious rascal. Actually, even more than that, he is Jatila in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes, which explains it all. So don't get uptight with Ramachandra Puri because he's Jatila. He's actually a great soul. He's not just some sort of, you know, deluded type of person. But he criticized Lord Chaitanya for no good reason at all. First we told him, he saw some ants crawling in the room. And he said, aha, ants come where there are sweets. So this sannyasi has been eating sweets? Shame, shame. See what's happened to the renounced order. It's finished. It's really Kali Yuga. So, Lord Chaitanya, of course, ants crawl all over the place, actually. But still, Lord Chaitanya cut his eating in half. A couple of weeks later, when Lord Chaitanya had lost some weight, Ramachandra Puri came and said, look at you. You're exhibiting, false renunciation or artificial renunciation, reducing your eating artificially. This is not a Vaishnav practice. So, what can you do with Ramachandra Puri? But Lord Chaitanya, very peacefully, he took it all and he didn't react at all. That's also a good one, yes. 7 days of nonsense. Rusava Bhama Bhattacharya. But he sat there very peacefully. Actually, I thought of that, yes, Kubja. Krishna, I mean, he was, in some respects, he was Dhira Prashanta. In other respects, he wasn't exactly. But in some respects, he just very peacefully, in a very obliging way, just went along with her. Yeah, I had noted that myself. Then, the last type, a very intriguing type, Dhiradatta. Just note that this is different from Dhiradatta. Dhiradatta. I mean, it's sort of the exact opposite in terms of personality type. A person who's very envious, proud, easily angered, restless and complacent is called Dhiradatta by learned scholars. So there are a few examples there with Kalayavana. Krishna told him, you better find some dark well because there's a black snake named Krishna and he's after you. He wants to devour all the sinful frogs. That's Dhiradatta. Very aggressive. Then Prabhupada mentions there was some other demon who appeared as a deer. And Krishna said that I'm an elephant because an elephant can kill deer very easily. So you better watch out. There are other examples. Can any of you think of any example? Exactly. Pondraka, Krishna said, when the messenger from Pondraka came and said, kindly give back the Sudarshan Chakra, Krishna sent a message, you fool, I will indeed let loose the weapons you boast of at you. not to you, but at you. And when you lie dead, O fool, your face covered by vultures, herons, and vata birds, you will become the shelter of dogs when they happily feast on your dead body. This is Dhiradatta. Very aggressive, powerful, strong, critical type of mentality. Even envious, transcendentally envious, proud, restless, complacent. Another example I can think of is from the 9th canto, Lord Ram with Ravana, that just like a dog, you stole Sita, just like a dog steals eatables from the house when the householder has gone out. He chastised him. Maybe. It might be. Shishupal. Well, you mean Shishupal himself? Krishna towards him. I guess he became like that eventually. But initially, I would say he was more Dhira Prashanta. He was peaceful. He didn't react. Bhima, who is an example of Dhiradatta himself, he wanted to just let Shishupal have it. But Krishna said, no, no, no. But then finally, at a certain point, after 100 insults, then I guess Krishna became Dhiradatta and he let Shishupal have it, the Sudarshan Chakra. I think it's more Dhiradatta, the first one. Because there's mercy there. There's mercy. Anyway, now let's just sort of wind up this chapter here. At the bottom of page 197, right at the bottom, Prabhupada, in fact, he's concluding the discussion about Dhiradatta. This challenging spirit of Krishna's is not contradictory to his sublime character. Everything is possible in his character. And then Prabhupada talks about how, even though some of these characteristics are quite contradictory to each other, but that is not a problem. It's not a problem. In Krishna, all these things can be reconciled, although in us, they couldn't be reconciled. You're either humble or you're proud. You can't really be both at the same time. But Krishna can. Although fixed in his abode, he's swifter than the mind and can overcome all others running. He walks and he doesn't walk. He's far away, but he's very near as well. He's within everything, and yet he's outside of everything. All these things are reconciled in Krishna, in the personality of Krishna. Actually, there's a few other little points that we could make from Ujjvala Nilamani talking about these points, these different personality types, but we'll do that tomorrow. Any comments or questions at this point? Yes? No, there are definitely others, but these are very vividly visible and very regularly visible moods. There are moods which are combinations also. Yeah. But these are the main moods of Krishna that make up his personality. It may be more like that, yeah. His pastimes, yes. They're manifestations of, he is manifesting himself in terms of these four personality types. Or some combinations like that. Hare Krishna. Śrīla Prabhupāda ki jai.